Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you miss it, don't worry. We got you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you listen, make sure you're liking, subscribing, giving us a good review because we never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shedd. I am a contributor at the Viking Age as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. And on your right is my co-host, Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. Today, we got a preseason game in the books. The Minnesota Vikings lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost called them Los Angeles, but Las Vegas Raiders. That's really dating myself, by the way. I get the Oakland Raiders mistake, but if you remember the Los Angeles Raiders, which, let's not lie, the Raiders should have moved there instead of the Chargers. But 26-20, they lose to the Raiders. Everyone should be fired. Trade all the players. Accumulate draft picks. Let's turn this into a Madden franchise. Are you on board, Adam?
It's overreaction Monday.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's get rid of everybody. Already own one. You know, I thought we got rid of Zimmer to get this defense better and they look worse. So, you know, let's bring him back.
All I'm saying is I don't understand why they didn't put Kevin O'Connell on the plane. Like they should have been like, hey man, we made a mistake. We got Jim Harbaugh on line one. Okay. Yep. Like
he's in over his head.
Or Patrick Graham. Is that what his name was?
Moonlight Graham? Yeah, he was on the other sideline, right?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think of that.
He's a defensive coordinator.
It was a revenge game. Maybe that was it. He's just like, yeah, I'll show them. I got this 9 hours of work for nothing. Like, mm-hmm. I got this in the mm-hmm. bag. You know, how do you feel with preseason games in general? Like, do you overreact to them? Like, do you get excited when you watch them? Or are you just kind of, you know, laser focused, kind of like I was, because I don't think I got too high or low watching Sundays.
No, yeah, I get excited just because it's football and it's mm-hmm. NFL, kind of. Obviously, it's not with the starters, so it's not as exciting, but it's still cool. And you hear all this stuff about things going on in camp, and you get to see, you know, how these guys actually look in game situations. A lot of people, a lot of Vikings fans, it's the first time they've seen a bunch of these players since camp started. A lot of people don't get to see what happens in camp or read about what happens in camp. So this is the first time they get to see those players. And it's just exciting to see like some of the younger players, like the rookies that we haven't seen before. Some of the second year guys that maybe didn't get a chance to play as much last year and see those guys. So I think as time has gone along, I don't really view like these preseason games as like I'm rooting for the Vikings. Obviously, I want them to win, but that's not the main objective for myself when covering these, or yourself when covering these, or even the Vikings and playing in them. Their objective is to, you know, get certain guys a certain amount of reps, get them off the field, and hopefully no one gets injured. And the Vikings were pretty successful in those objectives.
You know, as kickoff was approaching, I'm just like, do I really want to be here for this game? I mean, it's preseason, right? Do I want to go to the fridge here? And I'm like, I don't really know. You know, a couple minutes into kickoff, it was like the Edwin Diaz entrance for the Mets. You know, the Mickle and just comes out of the fridge, just ready to go. Like, drink me. And then it turns into, well, I'm not even going to mention that movie I'm thinking of right now. But like, I remember as a kid, like preseason games and just being jacked for them. Like you said, it was the first time you saw these guys. And I mean, even as like a high schooler where I could drive to training camp, I could watch it. Mankato was just an hour and a half away from Rochester. Like, this was the big premiere, even though nothing happened. Like it's not a premiere. It's just a whole bunch of backups playing football and trying to earn a roster spot. But I mean, as a kid, I remember the 98 Vikings going 4-0 and being like, this team's pretty good. And like, nobody played. And then you also have like other teams.
Oh, Randy Moss played though.
What's that?
Randy Moss played though. I think he had like two or three touchdowns in that preseason.
Yeah. I don't remember what Moss did. I remember they shut out the Patriots. Like it was like at least 30-0. Like they killed them. And I'm just like, wow, we might have something here. And then you go 15-1. Of course, you have the other effect where like the Lions went 4-0 that preseason and they wound up 0-16. So I don't know. I mean, it's a rite of passage in the summer. Like you start warming up, you make the chicken wings, you drink a couple of beers, you watch the game and you have a good time. So
it's preseason for everybody,
for what it was.
You got to get back in your routine. You know, all of us who cover the games, we got to get back in our, like, okay, I remember, like, this is what I do at this point in the game. And, you know, do I want to try something different this year and all that kind of stuff? And, yeah, you want to, like, with me, my kids are getting older, so I feel like I have more and more time to be to myself with the games, because sometimes when they're younger, I have to, like, step away and help with, like, screaming kids. And now they're getting pretty older where they're pretty good and I can watch the majority of the game when it's live, because in the past I'd have to like go back and catch up, but now it's pretty good. So I'm looking forward to this season of, you know, hopefully watching every game live.
It's like each year you're just like, do you guys like football yet? No. Okay.
Yeah, my youngest does. He loves, his favorite shirt is a Viking shirt. It's purple Viking shirt. Has to wear it every day. I'm like, no man, you only have one, so we gotta wash it. And he gets super bummed. But yeah, I think he's going to be into football. And then when he is, the other one will get jealous and then he'll be into it too.
Well, let's talk about the actual game, even though, you know, we're kind of dancing around the subject here because it's preseason. But the big headlines coming into the game were all about the backup quarterback position. That included Sean Mannion and Kellen Mond. Sean Mannion started the game. He started with the starting offensive line. But he didn't have Adam Thielen. He didn't have Dalvin Cook. He didn't have Justin Jefferson. 11 starters in total sat out for the Vikings on Sunday. But the Vikings went 3-and-out on the first drive. Jesse Davis gave up a sack, looking like the Big Show fighting Shane McMahon.
Which way did he go? Which way to? Oh, sorry, Sean. I didn't see him there.
Mannion then drove the Vikings all the way down to the 1 yard line. Kanae Wongwu got stuffed on a second and goal, and then Sean Mannion threw a pass that Amir Smith-Marset needed a stepladder to catch, so they had to settle for a field goal. Overall, Sean Mannion finishes 8 for 12, 66 yards and a touchdown. Did Sean Mannion do anything to make you feel better if he has to start a game?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't feel any more confident this year than I did last year with Sean Mannion being under center. Now we forget that Mannion, he did start last year. I don't know if we forget it. We try to forget because it was just so terrible. He started against the Packers last year and he was on the field. Like Justin Jefferson was on the field. KJ Osborne was on the field. Dalvin Cook was on the field. You know, Conklin was still out there. A bunch of the first team offensive line guys. So he was able to work with the first team offense in that Green Bay game, and they did nothing because Sean Mannion is just incapable of, he doesn't take chances. He takes, you know, who's ever wide open pretty much. He is a dink and dunker, unlike Kirk Cousins, who gets accused of being a dink and dunk kind of quarterback. Sean Mannion is. I believe he averaged like under 5 yards an attempt yesterday. When he was on the field, the Vikings averaged under 5 yards per play. Just like, I don't understand the appeal of Sean Mannion, of keeping him around, because if he has to play, and I know a lot of people say this about backups, if your backup has to play anyways, then you're doomed. But if you have to play Sean Mannion, you have very close to zero chance of winning that game. It doesn't matter who your defense is, who's on your offense. If Sean Mannion is on the field, you might as well just like look ahead to next week or just mark it up as a loss, because he's never won a game as a starter in his career, and he's never shown that he has the capability or I don't know. It's just, he's not good. I understand he's good in the meeting rooms or whatever, but, and maybe good on the practice field, but there's a reason why Allen Iverson freaked out about practice, because it's practice, not a game. It's practice, because it doesn't matter. What matters is what you do in the games, and what we've seen from Sean Mannion in games in the preseason and the regular season, he's not good. So don't keep him around.
Do you think he just like brings the snacks or something in the meeting room, and that's why they keep him around? Like,
I don't know.
His wife's just a really good cook or something?
Is he a computer whiz and he fixes everyone's computer or something? Or like...
He brings a keg of Coors Light.
And it's not like Kirk Cousins, he might be his buddy or whatever, but like, I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins doesn't really hang out with a lot of his teammates in the offseason.
No.
So it's not like he's best friends with Sean Mannion and you got to keep him around. I know he knows the offense, but it doesn't matter if he knows the offense like the back of his hand or if like his life depends on it. If you can't run the offense, it doesn't matter. So.
I got to ask you about this because I saw it before we came on. Did you see the report about Jimmy Garoppolo after he signed his contract?
Yeah.
Like, apparently he was hard worker, always around the court, or always at the facility, signs his contract, disappears for a month, does not answer coaches' texts, calls, whatever. The Niners draft Trey Lance, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, hey, guys, like, what do you want to do this offseason, huh? So
I saw somebody, I think somebody tweeted, like, Jimmy Garoppolo, the ultimate work-life balance quarterback. So, you know, as soon as the season's over, what's that called? Where you go missing?
Sabbatical?
I can't think of it right now. But yeah, he just like goes off the grid or whatever for the offseason. Then he comes back and is like, hey, how's everyone doing?
Kirk could probably give him a run for his money, though. Although I think Kirk probably answers texts and calls, but
he golfs. They did that golfing video or whatever this year.
That's right. And he had all the dad jokes.
He did so many.
But yeah, you mentioned the problem with Sean Mannion is that when you start him, you have a zero chance to win. And most teams, you're right, they're going to be screwed when they go to their backup quarterback, except for the teams who like fork out $9-10 million because they have the cap room and they have a rookie quarterback in front of them and they can just trot out Andy Dalton or whatever. They need to find a quarterback that gives them a non-zero chance to win. And I'm starting to think he's not on that roster.
Even if it's 5%.
Right.
That's fine.
Well, and people want to talk, well, backup quarterbacks don't matter. Okay. So Case Keenum, 2017, right? How about the guy that beat Case Keenum, Nick Foles? And yeah, those are outliers, but give yourself a chance. Like, give your chance. I mean, shoot, if you go 2-2 over a 4-game stretch where Kirk Cousins is out, like, that's a win. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, you start Sean Mannion 4 games, he's going to lose all 4.
0-4.
And it was choppy. It was indecisive. It was a lot of things that you don't really expect from a veteran quarterback who's 30 years old, I believe. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe you give him a clipboard and a hat and be like, hey, man, like, I would, like, Kevin O'Connell just puts his arm around him, goes, hey, man, I was with you at the time. I knew the offense. I knew I could do it. I just didn't have the talent, man. It's like, come under my wing. I'll teach you what I know. And maybe you too can be a head coach someday. Because the way they talk about him, it sure sounds like he could be a head coach someday, mm-hmm. or like an offensive coordinator or something. But I mean, it's just not practical to have a quarterback like that on your roster, even if he practices well or brings the snacks to team meetings or is Kirk Cousins' friend or likes Coors Light. I just whatever. Hey, Coors Light, sponsor us, by the way. But I'm not picky with that stuff. It's the Marshawn Lynch of beers.
Okay.
You know why I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I just, I mean, I'm starting to become impressed that he's lasted this long in the NFL for as long as he has, for as terribly as he's been. Because
he's Marcus Sherrills. He's the new Marcus Sherrills, isn't he?
No, Sherrills is he at least returned
Sherrills
punts.
Was good though.
Yeah, he was.
But
he's
every,
the best.
Every year they're just like, "This is the year Sherrills gets cut. Sure. This is the year. This is the year." And Sherrills, then all of a sudden, like you just
I think
was
CJ
on the
Ham
roster.
Is, I think CJ Ham's probably the new Marcus Sherrills. That's he's I think he's under the radar on the bubble this year because they don't need a fullback. They don't have any use for one. And they're like, oh, we got all this stuff for him. And I'm like, I don't believe you. But yeah, like Sean Mannion, good, at this point, it's good for him for like backup quarterback in the NFL. Like that's the gig. Look at Chase Daniel. He's made over $40 million. And I think he started like 4 games in his whole career. And he's been in the league for like 10 years. So
that's life.
Like,
well,
at
Chase
this
Daniel
point,
can win a game too.
He, yeah, like, against the Vikings.
Vikings fans are very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about the other quarterback, though. And that was Kellen Mond. We saw a lot of the things we saw last preseason in the first half. He was indecisive at times. He panicked. JT O'Sullivan has a very good video out on Twitter right now about a huge throwing lane that Kellen Mond missed. I'm not sure if that was the first or second half, but basically, it was a corner on a post route. Big throwing lane, didn't take it. And he tried to throw it along the sidelines to Dan, the ultimate weapon, Chizna. He drove the Vikings down to the 2-yard line, though, on his first drive, overthrew BC Johnson, who had a nice slug out route. Then he scrambled, missed a wide open Tristan Jackson in the back of the end zone. Vikings had to settle for another field goal. In the second half, he just looked way better, way more comfortable, threw a touchdown to Albert Wilson in the third quarter. His second drive, he went 5 for 5, 71 yards before finding Albert Wilson for his second touchdown of the game. 2 touchdowns on the afternoon. So, I mean, you look at stats, which Viking fans like to do with their quarterbacks. Was Kellen Mond's performance encouraging to you?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even really look at his stats. I would look at the team stats. More than I would, because they averaged over 7 yards a play when he was on the field on Sunday. And you look back at Sean Mannion, like I mentioned, they averaged under almost 4 yards a play when Mannion was on the field. And the main argument that I've heard from some people is that, oh, this is like the same thing as Kyle Sloter or the same thing as McLeod Bethel Thompson, where he gets to play against the third teamers and he shines. Well, they put Sean Mannion back in the fourth quarter, and they gained 16 yards on 6 plays, and they had to punt. So if it was so easy, then why couldn't Sean Mannion lead them to a touchdown drive? So that is a big difference to me. And I know what video you're talking about. Side note too, JT O'Sullivan coaches the high school football team that's like 2 blocks from me. So I know exactly who he is. But yeah, I saw the video and I kept watching it over and over again. To me, it looks like it could have been Kellen Mond purposefully looked off Amir Smith-Marset and then went to Dan Chizna to throw the ball. And it might have been an instance where O'Connell was like, just make this throw. I don't care if he's not open or not. Just make this throw. Because we heard that story from Kirk Cousins a few weeks ago where Kevin O'Connell was like, no, I don't care if your progression says this guy's open or this guy's open, make this throw because I want you to take this chance and make this throw. And also the route by Dan Chizna was not very good, which is not like surprising.
Not a shock.
He got 3 passes in college and he's the ultimate gunner, but he can't tackle. So he's really, really not going to make the team. And then I was thinking, I'm like, we are getting like really deep into this. We're breaking down throw by throw. Like if we did that for every quarterback in the league, nobody would be good. Like there might be a few like Patrick Mahomes and Brady and all that stuff. But like if you go break it throw by throw by throw, like if you did a breakdown of Brett Favre's throw by throws, a lot of people think he's like the worst quarterback ever to play. But I liked what I saw from Kellen Mond just from it looks like he's better than he was last year. He looks more comfortable. It looked like in the first half, I would say he had some jitters. I could see that. Comes out a little nervous. The scramble was nice. The throw was not on that one play where he scrambled, got away from all the pass rushers, and then he just overthrew the guy. But at the same time, this whole thing that people are arguing about, like, oh, Kellen Mond's good. Kellen's isn't good. We're talking about the backup job. Like, we're not hoping he's taking over Kirk Cousins. He's still the developing quarterback. The point is, he's just a better option than Sean Mannion, and there's really no other better options out there. Like, I did a article the other day on like 7 other quarterbacks that, you know, could be options as backups for the Vikings. A lot of them are trades because there's no one available out there. You sign Cam Newton? No, he's washed. You can sign Kyle Slaughter again? That's not going to happen. Like, AJ McCarron? No, like, all these guys, they're not going to be better than Kellen Mond. And it's not to say that Kellen Mond is so much better than these guys, but he has upside, and he can continue to develop under a coaching staff that is led by a former quarterback who's going to put him in a better position to succeed than the last coaching staff. So, you know, this just like, I had a problem with people just discrediting what Mond was able to do yesterday. Why can't we just take what he did, understand that he's still developing? You could even consider this year his rookie year because of how much he had going against him last year with COVID and the coaching staff and all that. So, like, why, let's put this into perspective instead of being like, oh, it was against the third team, so it doesn't even matter. Like, no, he looks way better than he did last year. We'll see if he looks better next week and the week after. But even if he gives you a 5% chance to win a game if he has to start next season, that's still 5% more than Sean Mannion. So that's my reaction.
I guess when I look at Kellen Mond, I know a lot of people were freaking out because he didn't get the start on Sunday. And kind of to their point, I would say, look at practice, look at what Kellen Mond's done, because everything we heard was that Mond was throwing interceptions, he was making mistakes and everything else. But like you said, this is his rookie year, basically, because he was ignored last year. And I know O'Sullivan said, well, when he misses throws like this, you know, yeah, Mike Zimmer was probably like, yeah, I'm tired of this. I see him every day. He misses throws like that. But like you said, maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like spring training. Maybe a quarterback is working on a certain throw or trying to get the kinks out or whatever. With Mond, like, I just want to see progression. And I thought we saw it yesterday as the game went on. Now, the counterpoint is that lower quality players went in as the game went on. But even like last year, Mond never looked comfortable. He was running around for his life, and he didn't have the reps. He didn't have the preparation. He didn't have the encouragement, which Kevin O'Connell was very supportive. He's the first person over to tap him on the head once he threw the touchdown. I think that Kellen Mond showed enough good things, but I don't think you could trust him as your backup quarterback. That being said, who are you going to get? Like, it's just tricky because, like, I'm not comfortable with him as a number two. I'm not comfortable with Sean Mannion as a number two. A lot of the options out there right now, I wouldn't bring in Cam Newton, because honestly, you say he's washed, which I think is true. I also think he's a locker room distraction, and everybody kind of thought it was overblown, but I look at what happened in New England. Look at what happened at his first touchdown that he scored. He ripped off his helmet, screamed, I'm back, into the camera, like, and drew a 15-yard penalty. Andrew Booth, though. You got to get on Andrew Booth's level with 2 15-yard penalties on the same play or whatever it was. I just want to see improvement. And if he can go out against the 49ers this week in practice, or turn around and, you know, have a good game against the 49ers, I'm going to feel a lot better about Mond's development. And maybe, you know, through the season as it progresses, we see that progression that should have happened during his rookie year. So I liked it. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to Kellen Mond, but it's better than what we had.
Yeah. And this is the Vikings' decision. We act like they have so many options right now when they really don't. This is what the Vikings wanted. They didn't bring in any other quarterbacks. This is what they wanted. They wanted Kellen Mond and Sean Mannion to fight for the backup job. That's what they're doing, and whoever wins will get it. I did see what was Kevin Seifert, who said like the Vikings are open to their backup quarterback not even being on the roster. And of course that'll depend on guys probably getting cut. And I don't know even when that happens, who's going to be available. Like, that's not, they're not probably not cutting. Andy Dalton's probably not getting cut. Nick Foles probably not getting cut. So, like, still, there's not going to be very many good options for the Vikings to pick up or pick if people get cut before the season. And then you have to make sure that they know the offense, because if you want them to be your number two in week one, you have to make sure they know the offense in case they have to play. So, you know, Kellen Mond's been in this system for now for a bunch of months. Right now, he's the best option going into week one. Maybe you can sign someone and have him also be in the room to kind of learn the offense. So in case later in the season you need someone, then you can have someone different to turn to. But right now, Kellen Mond, he's got to be the guy that they go with into week one, unless he's throwing like five interceptions against the Niners next week and they play the Broncos to end the preseason. So I don't expect that to happen though. But he just looks so much more aggressive too. Like, I think I read somewhere like 9 of his 10 passes or whatever went for first downs. And you know, his touchdown pass was like 20, 25 yards. Nice pass in the corner there too. And this first one was like, it was short, but it was nice too. He zipped it right in there. So like, it's just something that we see, and some people's immediate reaction is just to be like, oh, third team doesn't even matter. Like, why is he even on the team then? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he wouldn't be getting second team snaps in practice if it didn't matter. So.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, I'm a little riled up. Yeah, let's shift our attention to the backfield to people who might actually play during the regular season. Dalvin Cook did not play for the Vikings in the preseason opener. Alexander Mattison did. He ran for 8 yards on 3 carries. And then Ty Chandler and Kane Wongwu balled out. They combined for 90 yards on 12 carries. Chandler ripped off a couple of big runs. How are you feeling about the Vikings' depth at running back?
They're keeping 4 running backs this year. That's for sure.
5 if you include CJ Ham.
Correct. They're keeping 4. I feel good about their depth. I think we are, like, running back depth wasn't too much of a question because of Dalvin Cook and Madison. I've seen some people say how Madison is expendable now. And I think I've even written about like how other teams could trade for him. But I don't even know if the Vikings want to do that, because Madison, you know, he has his faults or his weaknesses or whatever, but he's still a solid running back. And he can be a 3-down running back if Dalvin Cook goes down, where right now Kane Wongwu and Ty Chandler, they feel more suited for a, you know, 3rd-down running back role or, you know, change of pace back, that kind of role right now. They don't seem like every down running backs. They can get there, but not right now. But I do feel good about the Vikings' depth right now. I think Ty Chandler showed a lot. He hits that hole real fast. And I think some of us even forgot that he like ran a 4.3, because that's not really too common with running backs, I feel like, at least for his size. He's kind of big and he runs a 4.3. And he would have had a kickoff return yesterday if not for Daniel Carlson. God damn it. Always messing things up. But no, I like the depth. Here's the thing. I'd be surprised if the Vikings traded Alexander Mattison. But I wouldn't be surprised either, because there's always people are going to get hurt and teams need running backs. And if the Vikings are able to get the minimum return you would need for Alexander Mattison? A fourth?
Nobody's giving you a fourth. Saquon Barkley couldn't fetch a fourth. Like, here's the thing about running back trades right now. Kareem Hunt asked for a trade from the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns said, "Yeah, this isn't even worth the effort." That's a former NFL rushing champion.
Yeah.
Alexander Mattison had a couple of good starts. So, I mean, what are you going to get? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he's going to stick around having four running backs, solid running backs, because we've seen this before. We've seen Mike Boone in the preseason, tear it up, and everyone's like, oh, he should be the backup. And then he gets a chance to start, and he can't do anything. Yeah, he can't do anything. So, like we relate to Kellen Mond to Kyle Sloter, you can look at Ty Chandler and Kene Wongwu back to Mike Boone or something like that. So this is Overreaction Monday, of course.
Like I said, Alexander Mattison, he's a solid backup. I wrote an article at Zone Coverage, and I said it was like the scene from Grown Ups where you got the two supermodels, and then you have the one chick in the bathing suit and the swimming cap or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Alexander Mattison. And having four running backs isn't a bad thing. You know, Dalvin Cook is going to get hurt at some point, because that's what he's done his entire career. He will miss at least one, maybe two games. Yep. He's not as injury prone as he was at the beginning of his career, but it's something to keep in the back of your mind. And here's a stat that I digged out, kind of looking through some stats. The Rams had four backs go over 100 carries over the past two seasons. So the Kevin O'Connell era, if you will. That was Daryl Henderson. I wish I would have wrote first names on my list. Daryl Henderson, Sony Michel, Cam Akers, and Malcolm Brown. The Vikings had two players go over 100 carries in Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. So let's play a game here. Who are the next two players on that list?
You mean before Dalvin Cook and Mattison?
After. Yeah. So you have Dalvin Cook, who had 560 carries.
Oh.
And you had Alexander Mattison, who had 260. Who was the next player on the list?
CJ Ham?
It was not CJ Ham. You want to take another guess?
Adam Thielen?
It was not Adam Thielen. I like that. That's a good Cousins? That's a good outside the box guess. No, it was Kirk Cousins, who had 61 runs.
He had 61 runs?
Yeah. And then guess who was the next player?
Justin Jefferson?
Was not Justin Jefferson. It is a running back.
Who else was there? Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, it was Amir Abdullah. 15 runs.
Kirk Cousins had 60.
So at the running back position alone, it was 500, 200, 15.
Abdullah, did he play yesterday? I don't think he did.
I don't recall him.
I don't think so.
Really, that's nothing out of the ordinary, though.
No.
So, but you get the point I'm saying, because Dalvin Cook, when he suffered his ankle injury after week two, he's like, I need to be explosive. If I'm not explosive, I'm not an effective back. Right. The best way to do that is by mixing in backs. So drafting Ty Chandler is a brilliant move. Kene Wongwu, he had a snap at receiver. I think they're going to move him all over the formation. And then you have a guy like Mattison, who could be a bell cow, and Dalvin Cook, who can, if they use, I think the blueprint for Dalvin Cook, and some Vikings fans might throw up in their mouth when I say this, look at what Green Bay is doing with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones this year.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones does not get 400 carries in a season, but he is explosive and he's able to create big plays. Then you have AJ Dillon to finish up. I don't think Alexander Mattison is as powerful as AJ Dillon, and his vision is not anywhere near that. but he can carry the mail. So, I think keeping four running backs is a good thing. I think it's a good idea, and it's just not worth trading Alexander Mattison. I don't think you're going to get a backup quarterback or a center.
Not going to get a center. So, I saw that out there. Who's giving you a center for Alexander Madison? Nobody.
It's like when you want a cheeseburger from McDonald's and you find like a quarter and a penny in there. Like, is this enough to get it done? No, it's not. I'm sorry. Inflation.
And it looks like J.C. Treader's probably not coming to Minnesota because the Browns
looks like
are.
He's not going anywhere after.
Browns are in need of. Oh, after his recent tweets.
After the rants about the Bears playing surface, but the Raiders playing surface was just as bad.
Terrible. Yeah. What the heck, man? That stadium opened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I know. I heard like it was overwatered or whatever, but you don't have like a backup sod or whatever. Like you paid billions of dollars and you can't afford another field. Come on.
Like they said, it was the soccer team and they like the turf. I can't remember the term Ben Lieber used, but but I'm just thinking about like who cares what the soccer team wants. Yeah. This is the football stadium. Sorry to soccer fans out there. Pele to Pele to Pele.
That's the real football. Okay.
Football. Yeah. Let's get back to regular football. American football. American, if you prefer that. Let's do some random shenanigans. And like our shenanigans are cheeky and fun, not like their shenanigans. If I say shenanigans, nobody's gonna get pistol whipped either. Favorite movie scenes of all time. Hey, Farva, what's that bar you like with all the stuff and on the wall? That appetite shenanigans. We're not doing that here. But I'll just ask you point blank: who else caught your eye in Sunday's game?
I liked Harrison Phillips. He was only out there for one series, but he had three tackles and a sack. And he looked good against the run. So, I mean, one series. I liked what I see so far from him. It seems like. I think he led the pregame chant or huddle or whatever. So he's got getting the leadership thing down already.
Get the
locker down. Mm-hmm. On offense, I think I don't remember if you've picked him, but Ed Ingram, he looks like he's ready to go already.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw from Amir Smith-Marset. He can make plays when he's got the ball in his hands, and he's a solid number four, and I wouldn't feel sad if he was the number three if someone got hurt ahead of him. So I liked what I saw from those guys.
Both of mine were on defense. I said Harrison Phillips a little bit. I loved how active he was because under the old regime, the defensive tackles were basically guys told to stay in their lane so Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr could clean up. Like Harrison Phillips was active. He was in the backfield. He was stopping runs. He got off a block for a sack. I really liked what I saw from Harrison Phillips, and I'm excited to see like how he kind of builds off that moving forward. Guys that played for most of the game, Patrick Jones, the second. Everybody craps on that third round class, which rightfully so, because Wyatt Davis did not look good. Good to see Chaz Surratt is alive, though. Like I think Luke Ron said his arms were, but his torso isn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like he can't tackle at all, but he's a real human, I guess. Or they just, you know, somebody from Section 224. Here's a jersey. You want to play in the game? Sure. You played high school ball, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Jones the second, though. He had some get off from the edge. Mm-hmm. Like they are dying for situational pass rushers. And I think after a couple of years, he's kind of that guy that you can develop a little bit behind Neil Hunter and Za'Darius Smith. Might be a little bit of an overreaction, but I saw some good things there. And then Brian Asamoah, that guy, he's smaller for a linebacker. He's got the safety number, but that dude was flying. He had the big hit where I thought he was doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin Luthez press, you know, where he goes like this and he starts like throwing punches on the ground. Like that was a heck of a hit, and it was clean too. That's the key. What I liked about that pick when they made it is that he is a guy that can attack. And if they're going to use him as kind of a linebacker, you know, with him and Seen, Cam Bynum looked good. Seen didn't really do much, but I mean, you could use him as a linebacker. You could use him as a cover.
But he didn't do anything bad either. Like I've seen people be like, we didn't see a whole lot of Seen, but I'm like, well, we didn't hear anything bad about him either. So that's never a bad thing either.
That's a positive. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things that they can do on this defense. And I'm excited when Ed Donatell gets to week one and goes, all right, boys, here's the bag of tricks. Let's go. Like there's a couple of good things that we're going to see.
Yeah, they didn't show anything. They didn't show any blitzes or anything. They just lined up
And I liked what they did. That's the crazy part. Yeah. I liked what they did with their scheme, especially on offense too. That drive that Mannion had, it was a lot of play action. which Kirk is one of the best play action quarterbacks in the league. So when you think about it that way, and like, you know, it was funny. I got a text from my mom and she's just like, what did you think about the scheme? I'm like, I don't know. Things are going to look different when you have Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter in there. Mm-hmm. Same goes for the offense with all the guys they were missing. So
Jordan Hicks looked good too.
Yes, I really like Jordan Hicks. That was a good performance. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's be negative for a bit. I'm kind of having withdrawals here throughout this episode. Andrew Booth Jr. getting two penalties on the same play. I was impressed, but I was not happy about it. What did you think of Andrew Booth in this game?
You could tell that he's a very passionate player. He just got to maybe he's got to tone things down a little bit because that seems to be the theme in practice as well. It's like he's been getting in a lot of guys' faces and he's really excited about playing football, and that's good. You want guys to be like that, but you know, you also have to know when to do certain things and when not to. But I think the thing that's important to emphasize probably with him and some of the other guys is the penalties that they were getting, the illegal touching or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called?
Legal contact.
Yeah. Not legal touching. That's something else. Illegal contact. Like that happened what, 3 or 4 times? And I'm like, oh, that's this year's penalty where like
point of clarification.
Yeah, last year was like
point of emphasis.
Holding or something, or the year before was roughing the passer. Actually I think last year was like pass interference. So like every year people get mad in the preseason, and then like for September people get mad about these calls being made. And then after that, it's usually back to normal because refs in the league's like, okay, guys, we did it. Let's go back to normal. But yeah, Andrew Booth Jr., he could have been Wyatt Davis, still terrible. like
better PFF grade than Jesse Davis, though. Let's give him that. Let's give him a little.
I mean, he just let a guy through.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, right this way. Here's the quarterback. I'm like, dude, what do you barely play and that's what you're doing? I don't know. That's all I can think of off the top of my head as far as guys that I was kind of disappointed in, because they played well for a preseason game in this scheme, like new scheme, new defense. Like I think I was more impressed and had more takeaways about what they did in terms of formations and stuff on defense and offense. Like that touchdown pass that Mon had, his first one on the 2-yard line, they had 5 receivers on the 2-yard line. Like did Mike Zimmer's offense ever do that?
No,
no.
Because so they ran
like,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is wonderful. I don't think I've ever seen the Vikings do this. So I think I enjoyed that very much.
I was neutral about it. Like I wasn't hoping they wouldn't let O'Connell on the plane. I wasn't, you know, Super Bowl. I just kind of, I didn't see any, like the penalty sucked. I think they had 7 in the first half. They cleaned it out for 1 in the second. You know, the offensive line, Jesse Davis, that kind of was just like, so this is the guy you're going with, huh? And then Ed Ingram went in and looked awesome. Austin, like,
no, you're not.
Austin Schlappman looked good.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot here, I think. So, I mean, as we get going, we got the 49ers scrimmage this week, and then they're going to play them on Saturday. Yep. I'm really interested to see who shows up in the 49ers scrimmage, because they're not going to rest starters in those because it's a practice. Right. You know, if a player kind of shows out, you kind of go, okay, this is against a different team, different tendencies, everything else.
Good team too.
Trey Lance, because I'm a
NFC Championship.
What's that?
It's a good team too. They went to the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good barometer. We'll just kind of see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah. And I would hope, I know some people have been like, oh, Kirk Cousins should play on Saturday or whatever. I don't want him out there. I don't. We're having this discussion about, you know, Mannion can't win you a game and Mon can barely give you much of a chance. Let's not have that. Let's just keep Kirk Cousins on the sideline. He knows this offense pretty good already. He doesn't need 3 plays to show us what he's got. You know, cause look at the Jets. They have a young quarterback. Yeah. I know they want to get reps or whatever, but he's their guy. Zach Wilson's their guy, and now he might not be ready for the start of the season because they had to get him some reps in the preseason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel like with all the talk about, well, we're very fortunate Kirk has never missed a game. Okay.
Let's keep it that way.
Let's stop that now. He missed a game, but never due to injury.
Are there any players that sat out this week that you would want to see next weekend? Because I don't think there are. They sat out maybe sit more of the offensive line guys out, because if you lose someone like Brian O'Neill or Christian Darrisaw, you're probably going to be screwed too.
Sorry, it was my weekly coughing episode in the
middle. Oh, you were choking like Sean Mannion?
Yes. I was choking like the Vikings in the NFC Championship.
No. Too soon.
Way too soon. I don't even know what we were talking about because I'm like, oh, don't cough on the mic. Don't cough on the mic. Don't cough.
Oh, just guys playing on Saturday.
Oh, no. I don't want anybody. Like, what, you're going to play Justin Jefferson to send a message? We're going to. Like, that's not do the Zimmer thing where it's like, we have to get a preseason touchdown. Irv Smith Jr. march out there. Oh, you're hurt. Not good.
Did I see that? Was this weekend, was Sunday their first? I think it might have been Will Raggetts who tweeted that the passing touchdown was their first since 2019.
Sweet.
I think that, yeah, like, that's not good. I mean, it's preseason, but that's still not good. But yeah, don't play anybody. Maybe sit Cameron Dantzler. Like, I think it's pretty clear he's going to be the number two.
Late, though. I know. He played late into the game. I'm wondering if Andrew Booth Jr. is ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of questions to be answered.
Yeah, there's still a month. There's still like a month before the season, so a lot can change.
We could play around with Madden when it comes out tonight.
Do you want to try and guess who the five guys they're going to cut, or at least name someone that should be part of the five?
Wyatt Davis, Chaz Surratt, the backup punter. That's three.
Dan Chisena.
The ultimate weapon. Yeah. What do you do?
He gets to the returner. Doesn't tackle him.
Does not even slow him down.
He just wants to be the first one to say hi. That's all.
What's going on? Oh, there you go. I don't know, man. Yeah, oh, Demarius Robinson. I bet you three of the four.
From the last year's draft class?
Yeah, I bet you last year's draft class, three guys will be cut.
Yeah. So I think Albert Wilson hurt or helped himself with those two touchdown catches, or did it really matter?
I don't know. I think they like their guys that they have at receiver right now. So I mean, I don't think.
But would you take him over BC Johnson?
BC had a nice move in the corner though. That sluggo route was sick.
Yeah, but
so, just trying to think what else. Who else is that receiver? Tristan Jackson looked good.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
You're not cutting Justin Jefferson. You're not cutting Adam Thielen. I don't think I'm going out on a limb there. KJ Osborne, not getting cut. Mir Smith Marset. The only thing I didn't like with him was that he bobbled everything. Like, it was never like a clean catch. It was like, oh!
Okay. Was that his fault or was that Mannion's fault?
Maybe a combination of both.
He had a good return.
Was one pass, one Mon pass hit him in the hands, and he just went,
Well, he had a good return, too, to start the game, but that got negated by a hold. Very first play of the Kevin O'Connell era is a penalty.
That's what I said. Welcome back to Vikings football, baby. We got a penalty on the board.
First play, just like CJ Ham last year. Great job.
But anyway, on that note, that's all the time we got for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. If you miss it, we got you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. However you listen, make sure you like, subscribe, give us a good review. We never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shad. Adam Patrick, we'll talk to you on Thursday night.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic.
So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.